ברוכים הנמצאים. We are studying פרשת תולדות. Our parasha is one of the most complicated to explain. It's probably easier for us just to skip the whole subject and go to an easier section. But we have no choice to be diligent. And that is, of course, the subject of Yaakov Abinu receiving the blessings from his father. This is, of course, very dramatic. Yaakov goes in dressed up like Esav, and he supposedly tricks his father, and his father gives him the beracha. Esav comes in after and realizes that he was duped, and he's very upset. This story, of course, needs great analysis on many levels. As I told you in previous classes, the way I study these parashiyot is I erase anything that I ever heard, and I open the text and I read it for the first time as if it's the first time. I don't want to be biased. I don't want to be prejudiced to anything that I know already. When I read the parasha this year, many questions came to me. The most obvious question, which we would call the million-dollar question, is how is it possible that Yitzhak Avinu does not know that Esav is not worthy of the blessings? Clearly Yitzhak knew that Yaakov is Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. He's the one that sits in the tent and learns all day long. And Esav, the Pasuk says he was a hunter. And Yitzhak knew that he was a hunter because that's the reason why he loved him. It's just because he used to bring him food. Where did he bring them food from? Not from the yeshiva, from the yeshiva lunchroom. He brought him the food from the field. Ish Sadeh. So to come along and say, well, Yitzhak was old and he was blind and he was naive, Chas v'Shalom. I just came from the Ma'arat HaMachpelah on Friday. Erev Shabbat, Chaye Sarah, the Shabbat that they bought the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And I was by the tomb of Yaakov Abinu. They even opened up the tomb of Yitzhak, because usually it's closed for the Arabs only, but they opened it up that week, for that weekend, for the Jews. These were great tzaddikim. You're telling me that Yitzhak Avinu did not know who his son Esav was? He got tricked? And if it wasn't for the Fka who came along and did some fancy footwork, then Esav would have received the blessings? This is very hard for me to understand. Blindness means nothing. Yitzhak Avinu in his blindness saw more than most people with 20-15 vision. Yitzhak Avinu was still a prophet. He still had Ruach HaKodesh. And that's one of the main questions. Of course, another question that has to be discussed, the Midah of Yaakov Avinu is Midah Ta'emet. Titen Emet LeYaakov. So then how can we understand Yaakov Avinu, who's personality is truth, and when he comes into his father's office and his father says, who are you? And he says, I am Esav. How could that be? How could somebody that's touted to be Ish Emet come along and when it sounds like a blatant lie? Of course Rashi fixes it for us. Rashi says, Anuchi Esav Bechorecha. Rashi puts a comma. Anuchi, I am I. And Esav is your Bechor. Okay, if that helps anybody. He didn't tell his father, put a comma. How could we understand Yaakov Avinu Ish Emet would say such a blatant lie? To understand better the question, just like if somebody came into Avraham Avinu's tent and said, please, I'm thirsty, can I have a glass of water? Imagine Avraham Avinu would say, no, there's no water over here. Impossible. Chesed l'Avraham. Just like the Chesed of Avraham is understood, so too the Emet of Yaakov has to be understood. there are a lot of questions. I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to ask a few more questions because the parasha is very, very astounding. Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu to go in to get the blessings. But she doesn't just tell him to go in to get the blessings. She tells him, go take two goats. Shteg Dayer Izim Tovin. All our rabbis tell us it was Pesach. And the custom on Pesach was to eat two animals, one for Korban Pesach, one for Korban Chagigah. And therefore the simple interpretation is take Shteg Dayim Izim Tovin. That I don't have a problem with. But then she says, and go take the clothes of Esav, Bigde Esav HaHamudot, it's called, the beautiful clothes of Esav that he had left in the closet, and go wear them. Why does Yaakov have to wear Esav's clothes? Well, you're going to tell me because he has to dress up like Esav to fool his father. Well, his father's blind, so his father's not going to see the coat. Now, although she does tell him, take skins and put it on his hands so he can feel hairy. That I don't have a problem with, because when Yitzhak is going to ask Yaakov, come close, I want to feel you, he's going to feel his hairy hands. So that's part of the masquerade. That part I don't have a problem with yet. But why does Rivka say that you have to wear Esav's clothes? So that's a beautiful interpretation. I have to accept that. That not only do you have to feel like Esav, you have to smell like Esav. So can it seems like that garment gave off a certain smell, like a hunter. Although by putting the skins on his hands, that would probably have the same effect. And by the way, if you noticed in the text, I don't know if you ever paid attention to this, the pasuk says, she took two skins from goats, and where did she put the skins? Do you remember where she put the skins? Hilbisha al yadav v'al chelkat sabarav, on his hands, but also on his shoulder, or on his neck. Now that's really the question that bothered me this year, because I never paid attention. Why would she specifically put the... Well, you tell me, simple interpretation. Of course, Yitzhak is going to come along and say, come close, I want to feel you. He's going to feel his hands. And then, come, I want to kiss you. And then he'll feel his neck. A simple interpretation. But it seems that Rivka Avinu is very calculated. Everything she's doing comes with great hashbon in order to pull off this... this position of getting the blessings. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but when Yitzhak Avinu gives the blessings, what are the blessings? What are these blessings that we're talking about? We never get a chance to talk about what the blessings are because we're so excited. Who took them? Who stole them? How did he steal? What were the blessings here? It's the blessing that we bless our children at every wedding. V'yiten lecha ha'elohim mital ha'shamayim u'mishpanei ha'ares. V'rov dagan v'tirosh. It's a blessing of prosperity. It's a blessing of bounty. It's a blessing of parnasah. It's not a spiritual blessing at all. If you look in that beracha, v'yiten lecha ha'elohim mital ha'shamayim u'mishpanei ha'ares, it's all material. Which I'm shocked that if Yaakov Avinu is the one that learns all day long, he's Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, why should he be so concerned, or why should his mother be so concerned that he should get a beracha for monetary prosperity? It's more than monetary prosperity, it's wealth. Again, if Hacham Ovadia Yosef Alav Shalom is going to his rabbi to get a blessing, and the rabbi tells him, Ezat Hashem, you're going to have a big Cadillac, and you'll have a house with a swimming pool. Chaim Ovadia would say, what are you talking? Well, this is not all my life, I'm running away from this. Give me a beracha that I should know my learning, that I should understand what I'm reading, that I should be able to teach it. Cadillac, this is what I sacrificed my whole life against this. And here, Rivka Imenu is telling Yaakov, hey, your father's giving out Cadillacs. Hurry up, hurry up, go. Run in and get the Baraka. And all of a sudden he comes out, he has all the berachot of the of Olam Hazeh, all the blessings of this world. Why should the tzaddik Yaakov, or more so his mother Rivka, who knows who Yaakov is, why should she be pushing so much for these monetary blessings that normally the tzaddikim really don't care too much about? And then of course what happens afterwards? Yaakov walks out, Esav walks in, and Esav says, I'm here for the blessings. Too late. Your brother came and he took the blessings. Now, I'm not an expert in the laws of Lashon Hara, but this has to be forbidden, according to the Hafetz Chaim. Let Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov runs out. Now Esav comes in. Oh, where's the blessings? Yitzhak Avinu should say, I can't give you the blessings. Why? I cannot give you the blessings. Instead, your brother came with a lot of trickery and took the blessings. Now that's not Lashon Hara. You ladies know the laws better than me. I learned them a long time ago. But that cannot be permissible according to Lashon Hara laws. That's tail-bearing. Your brother came at the... I mean, that clearly puts Yaakov Avinu in a terrible position. And by the way, as a result of that, I don't want to say Lashon Hara, but whatever you're going to call it, that Lashon, Esav ends up hating Yaakov for a lot of years. So that's a question that I had also. Again, I always assumed that the Avot kept the whole Torah. So I'm sure that Yitzhak Avinu was careful in the laws of Lashon Hara. When the mother came to Yaakov, who ate the cookie? Yosef did it. That's Lashon Hara. In that case, at least the mother asked. In this case, Esav didn't ask who took my blessings. Yitzhak offers it. You should know what happened. I know you didn't ask. Let me tell you what happened. Your brother came and he took the blessings from you. These are some of the questions that bother me. Now, the good news is I found a master key. Sometimes you need 5 keys to open up the door. This, you need 1 key. It's a master key. I have it right over in these papers. And it's going to answer all the questions and 10 more questions that I didn't ask you. That's the good news. At the beginning of the parasha, it says she was pregnant, Rivka. No problem. It's a Mantova Mazal Tov. And she goes to the yeshiva to get a blessing. She went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, which is okay also. It's our custom, ladies that are pregnant, to go to the rabbi to get a beracha, that it should be an easy delivery, and the children should be healthy. This is an old custom. Rivka is not out of line at all, to go to the rabbis to get a beracha. V'telech l'droshet Adonai. V'yomer Hashem la, Hashem means the prophets, the rabbis in the yeshiva, they had prophecy, and they give her the following prophets. Shnei goyim bebitnech. You have inside of you 2 goyim. And the rabbis come along and say, well, Rashi on the spot, geyim. If you look at the way it's written in the Torah, it's written not goyim, which would mean nations, it's written geyim. Geyim means you have 2 proud personalities inside of you. Like a ge'er. 2 proud personalities. Now, Jesus, who are these personalities? Elu Antoninos Virebi. 2 descendants. One a descendant of Esav, called Antoninos, and one a descendant of Yaakov, called Rabbi. That's true. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi, he wrote the Mishnah. He's a direct descendant of Yaakov Avinu. And there's another fellow called Antoninos. In English they call him Marcus Aurelius. He was one of the Caesars of Rome. He's a direct descendant of Esav. The Gemara talks a lot about that relationship between Rabbi and Antoninos. Rabbi used to learn Torah, and Antoninos used to support him. used to make sure that the bee had all his needs. He made sure to give him protection and all that. It was a very, very odd relationship. That the Caesar of Rome should befriend the chief rabbi, and they had a tremendous friendship between them. When I was in Rome in May, and they were showing me all the things, and the tour guide, the lady, says to me, "And this over here is a statue of Marcus Aurelius. I'm looking for this guy all my life. This is Antoninus over here. I read about him all." She said, "You know Antoninus?" I said, "I'll give you the tour now. I'll tell you what Antoninus is." Then I explained to all the stories that the Gemara says. And she's writing down all the stories so she can tell it to the next guy. Anyway, I don't have a problem. But that's the prophecy. She went in to get a beracha, and they tell her a prophecy. Oh, shnei geim bebetnech. There's two geim bebetnech. Rebbe and Antoninus. I'm not saying it's not true. But what does she have to know that for? If they would have said, "Listen, shnei geim bebetnech, Yaakov and Esav." Oh, that's why I have to know that. They're my children. But just stand to say that in the future there's going to be two geim. Guess what? She could have done the same thing. Shnei geim bebetnech. Who? Eliyahu Mansur and Donald Trump. I'm a descendant of Yaakov Avinu. Donald Trump is a descendant of Esav. It's also true. No, they didn't say Eliyahu Mansur, Donald Trump. They say Rebbe and Antoninus. What does that help Rivka? Prophecies are only given to the person if they need it. If it's a purpose, if it serves a purpose, if it serves a function. You don't just give prophecies. Stama, Rebbe and Antoninus. And that's one of the first things they told her. So that's also a question. But she doesn't explain why they told it to her. That's a question in itself. One more question, although I have 10 more questions, but I'll only say one more question for today. The parashah is very difficult. When I was by the tomb of Yaakov Avinu this Friday morning, I prayed by the tomb of Yaakov Avinu that I should have a merit to understand this episode properly in order that I should deliver it to the Sibur. So anyway, Yaakov comes in to get the blessings. And he says, Anochi Esav, that whole story, is wearing Esav's clothes, no problem. So he says, let me feel you, come close. And he feels his... So all of a sudden, Yitzhak says, Hakol kol Yaakov, Vayadayim yedei Esav. The voice sounds like the voice of Yaakov, and the hands feel like Esav, which sounds like Yitzhak is saying, I'm confused, because who are you? So what does he do when he's confused? He blesses him. Now, I wouldn't have done that. I would have said, time out. Call a time out. Who are you? Calling help. Calling head. If God, come here. I don't see you. Who is this person over here? Instead, he admits that he's confused. He says, Akol kol Yaakov, Yadayim yedei Esav. This is very, very odd. He speaks like Yaakov. He feels like Esav. I say, you know what? Beracha. I say we have a rabbinical rule, Safek Berachot Lehakel. When you have a question on the Berachah, you don't make the Berachah. Yaakov Avinu says, Safek Berachot, make the Berachah, give him the Berachah anyway. That behavior is very, very hard to understand. And then it says, he gives him the blessings. Yaakov Avinu leaves, Esav comes in, Esav said, what happened over here? He took my blessings, and not only did he take my blessings, he took my firstborn! He took my birthright, this guy! Hold it, we're not bringing things from 100 years ago now. What does he bring up the birthright? What does the birthright have to do with anything over here? So you're going to tell me, well, because he took the birthright, so he's the Bechor, so he gets the blessings. No problem, simple interpretation. I'm not arguing with you. But did he trick him when he took the birthright? He says, he tricked me. I don't think that was a trick. I think it was a bad deal. But he wasn't tricked. He came home, he was hungry. Yaakov Avinu said, listen, you want some lentil soup? No problem. There's a price. What's the price? The birthright. Esav could have said no, he could have said yes. Instead, what did he do? Yeah, take the birthright. Lambazeli bechora. Now, is that called being tricked? Simple. I come into the class over here, I'm very thirsty. And one of you has ice cold water. I say, you don't mind to give me that water? Rabbi, all due respect, I don't give anything. But I see you have a watch. Give me your watch, and I'll give you the cold water. I say, but the watch cost me $100. That water cost $1. But I say, you know something? Kapara, I was going to get a new watch anyway. You take the watch, and I get the water. Did you trick me? No, you didn't trick me. I know what I was doing. I'm just, that was a dumb thing to do. It's a dumb deal. But I wasn't tricked. Trick would mean, and then you give me the water, and the bottle's empty. Oh, you tricked me. No, no, don't drink. I knew what I was doing. I was selling you my watch. I got it. So all of a sudden, Esav comes over and says, this is the second time he tricked me. Now, I agree. Maybe he got tricked with the blessing. Not maybe, for sure. But with the birthright, he didn't get tricked. What's the trick with that? Why does he feel that he got duped? He knew that already. He knew that he sold the birthright. And by the way, when did he sell the birthright? I'll do the math. They were 15 years old when he sold the birthright. How old is he now? I mean, they have to be... Yeah, they're 60 years old. They're old over here. He's old man over here now. So they're much older. So this is something that happened 50 years ago. And all of a sudden, he brings it up now. All right, anyway, that's a question in itself. The master key? Well, I'll tell you what the master key is. It's in a sefer that's called Imre Noam. It's in this paragraph. If you're lucky and you will hear this paragraph, you will understand the secret of this whole parasha, like you never understood it before, and it'll answer every single question that I asked, plus 10 more. I start reading his words. Ladies, please forgive me, but I have to read the words of the Ibn al-Noam. He says, Yesh lehavin, Lama ahav Yitzhak et Esav yoter mi Yaakov. That's my question. Why did Yitzhak like Esav more than Yaakov? Halo yada zot betov. He knew it good and well. Sha'al kol panim Yaakov yoter tov memenu shu ish tam yoshev ohalim. Yitzhak knew that Yaakov learns all day long in the Bet Midrash. Shem ve'ever. So he asks one question. I ask 10 years. What he says, so how could it be he blessed him? So he has an unbelievable theory, which I got very excited. Besides the answer, I love the theory. He says, well, if you don't understand this blessing that a father gave his son, let's go to another father who blessed his son, and maybe from that blessing we'll understand this blessing. So he goes to the blessing that Yaakov Abinu gave his own children. He says, if we look at over there, maybe we'll figure out, because probably Yaakov Abinu is going to bless his children like his father blessed him. But Yaakov's blessing that he received from his father, we don't understand. So let's go to the one we do understand, and then we'll make a marriage. That's very cunning. That's very sharp to do that. So he says like this. When Yaakov Abinu blessed his children, there were two sons that he specified. Yisachar and Zebulun. Now, we know that Yisachar is the tribe that was designated to study Torah. Yisachar, we would call them the learners. And they sit in the yeshiva, and they toil in the study of Torah. Today we would call them the fellows that are in the kollel and the yeshivas that are studying day and night. They come from Shevet Yisachar. I don't care if it means that they have a direct descendancy from Yisachar. It means they have the trait of Yisachar. And there's another tribe that's called Zevulun. Zevulun, traditionally, according to the Torah, they were the business people. Whereas Yisachar is the learner, Zevulun is the earner. They would go out and make panasah. But the greatness about Zevulun was, is that they understood what Yisachar was doing. They valued it a lot. And as a result, they would make a contract with their brother, and they would say, you learn Torah, and let us take care of all your bills. Let us take care of all your material possessions. And every week, Zevulun would give Yisachar a check. So Zevulun did a lot of work, and Yisachar had no worries. They could learn with a clear head, because they knew that Zevulun was going to support them. It's an amazing partnership. Who's more important? Yisachar or Zevulun? Don't fall for my tricks. Don't fall for my tricks. Answer me. They're both equal. Who says one has to be more important? They're both equal. But I'm going to ask you again. Even though you answered me the politically correct answer. No, they're both good. You need Yisachar, you need Zevulun, you need Zevulun, you need everybody. Who's more important? Well, if Zevulun doesn't support, Yisachar can't learn. And if Yisachar can't learn, Zevulun's probably not going to make money. So, it's probably equal. However, I have a proof that the Torah gives a certain advantage to Zevulun. I'm not happy. I'm Yisachar. I learn all day long. I want Yisachar to be on top. But nonetheless, how do I know? Because when Yaakov blesses his two sons, he blesses Zevulun before Yisachar. He blesses Zevulun first. And the question is why? Why should Zevulun get to be blessed first? Not only that, there's a rabbi called Hatam Sofer. Hatam Sofer says something incredible. Imagine this stage over here is the Beit HaMikdash. You see where the menorah is over here, the lights? That's where the menorah used to be in the Beit HaMikdash, on the southern wall. This is the southern wall. On the northern wall was the Shulchan. What does the menorah represent? Torah, light. Light is wisdom. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. This is the Torah. And what does the table represent? Panasa, the bread was on the table. Even in America we say money is bread. Mula, bread, dough. So that's the... So the Hatam Sofer says, when you came into the Beit HaMikdash, what did you see on the two opposite walls? You saw Yisachar over here, and Zevulun over here. And they're right across from each other. Yisachar, the learner, and Zevulun, the supporter. They're opposite each other. But, he says, now you see, ladies, this is a perfect example. When you walk into our synagogue from the back door, you're walking into the synagogue from the west. So when you walk in, if I'm facing this way now, walking into the synagogue, the menorah is to my right. However, in the Beit HaMikdash, they used to enter through the east. So they would enter from here. Imagine there's a door over here. So they would come in over here. So when you would enter the Beit HaMikdash, the Shulchan was to your right. Now we know that the right is the primary position. So the Hatam Sofer says, why in the Beit HaMikdash, that when you walked into your right, you saw Zevulun? What happened to Yisachar? So he says something amazing. He says, they're both great. They're both great, but Zevulun has an advantage because he's more l'shem shamayim. Why? I have to quote his words. Hatam Sofer, in Al Parasha, he writes, Nimsa, Zevulun mamlich Yisachar. Zevulun respects Yisachar, and Yisachar respects Zevulun. Why did Zivulun respect Yisachar? Because he learns Torah. Zivulun respects the Torah of Yisachar. Why does Yisachar respect Zivulun? For the money. No problem, but money. The respect for Torah is higher than the respect for money. And therefore he says Zivulun is on a higher level because he gives the kavod for the Torah. Whereas Yisachar, he needs the money, but his kavod is kavod for the kesef and his languages. The Yisachar mamlich Zivulun ki hu noten letoch piv, because he feeds them. Nimsa kavanat Zivulun yoter leshem shamayim mikavanat Yisachar. He says, and therefore Zivulun vashulchan biyamin. That's why they're on the right. So Zivulun is unbelievable. The fact that he supports Yisachar, we're talking about a businessman over here that not just makes a lot of money. He knows what it means, rabbis learning. He has respect for Hakamim. He puts his money where his mouth is. He supports them. Not an easy thing, by the way, I guess, for a businessman to make money and then give it away. Unless he understands what Torah is. So you have to give credit to Zivulun on a very high level. And that's why when Yaakov blesses his children, Zivulun gets the first blessing, and then Yisachar. In the Beit HaMikdash, the Shulchan is to the right. The Gemara says that when Zivulun passes away, his place in Gan Eden is right next to the Hakam that he supported. Which is an incredible zechut. Even though he didn't learn as much. But since he supported, they put him right next to the Tamid Hakam. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what's going to help? He's not going to understand anything. The Zohar HaKadosh says, no. Once he gets put next to the Hakam, God's going to download all the wisdom into the Zivulun's head, so he'll be able to understand everything that's going on. So it's tremendous zichut to be a Zivulun. Comes the rabbi called Imre Noam. He comes along and he says like this. He quotes a Gemara that you know. It's an interesting Yisachar Zivulun that you never thought about. You always think Yisachar Zivulun means the rich man. It's not always so. Rabbi Akiva studied Torah for 24 years. He comes back, he left his wife for 24 years. His wife actually, he didn't leave his wife, but that's the wrong way of saying it. His wife told him, go study Torah and she'll take care of the children, she'll take care of everything in the house. When he comes back with 24,000 students, there's a lady that's pushing her way to go see her husband. So the students, no ladies over here. Move away. So Rabbi Akiva sees that's his wife. So Rabbi Akiva tells the students, let her go. Shili b'shelachem shelahi. My Torah and your Torah is her Torah. What was Rabbi Akiva saying? She's like Zevulun. All the Torah that we studied goes to the wife. She was the one that enabled it. She's the one that gave us the ability. If Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife, didn't push me to go study, I would have been a businessman. She was the one that gave me the strength. And therefore, she is a moral Zivulun, besides a financial Zivulun. So therefore, you see the concept of Yisachar Zivulun is not only financial, but even the wife is considered Zivulun. And the wife splits it equal. She's, Rabbi Akiva said, all of our Torah is her credit. Now let's hear what he says. We'll see there, based on this introduction. Nuchal lomar, shegam Yitzhak, dima, Yitzhak had an idea. Sheikar pe'ulot Esav, that Esav, he knows he's not a learner. The name Esav comes from the Hebrew word la'asot. La'asot means to work. Esav doesn't have the patience to sit down 20 hours a day and learn. He has, he doesn't have the ability to sit and concentrate. He's hyper. La'asot, Esav, he runs around. Oh, so he comes along and says, Shegam Yitzhak Dima, Sheikar Pe'ulat Esav, the main purpose of Esav is to go to work. So his idea was, to make the first Yisachar Zivulun in history. We'll give all the money to Esav, because he knows how to work, and we'll let Yaakov learn, because Yaakov learns very good, and Yitzhak knew this. Yitzchak knew that Esav is a man in the fields all day long, and that Yaakov is learning. So the plan was Esav would come into his father would tell him, congratulations, all the beracha of this world belongs to you. V'yiten lecha elu mitala shamayim u'mishpanei ha'ares rov dagad v'tirosh, and you'll take care of your brother. And then you have over here tremendous, tremendous. So that's not being called naive. He wasn't naive at all. This is a very, very logical, a very sound, a very proper a plan. He comes along and says, not only that. How does Yitzhak know that Esav will be a good supporter? Because who was supporting Yitzhak all these years? The pasuk says, "Vayehad Yitzhak et Esav." Yitzhak loves Esav. Why? Ki tzayid b'fiv, because he always brings him food. So he says, "It's unbelievable. He's perfect." I'm learning. What do you think Yitzhak was doing? They're learning. Who brings him lunch? Esav. He says, "Not b'chemo. He's perfect." Which means now I'm going to die. Yaakov will take my position, and instead of giving me lunch, he'll give Yaakov lunch. And he didn't give his father a bill. Esav does all the work, and his father gets it for free. Yitzchak Zebulun. That's why he loved him. Otherwise, it makes no sense. He loved his son because he gave him food. What does that mean? Yitzchak Abinu cares about the food? Since when did the tzaddikim care about food so much? That's the reason why they love their child, because he brings them food? That's a very shallow reason to love your child. He loves his child because he's supporting Torah. He thought he had an image of Esav as a good religious businessman. He didn't think Esav was some learner or some Gaon Mivilna or something. He was a businessman. But he respects Torah. After all, every day, who brings me lunch? Esav brings me lunch. Not only that, the Gemara says Esav used to ask his father questions. And it was from these questions that Yitzhak got tricked. What was the questions that he used to ask? The Gemara gives us an example of the questions Esav would ask. Exactly. Questions about Maaseh. Daddy, do you have to give 10% on salt? Yitzhak Avinu said, look at this. This is his questions. Maaseh, Sedakot. He's not a learner. Yaakov will never ask a question like this. Yaakov doesn't have Maaseh. He doesn't have nothing. He has no money. Yaakov's sitting and learning all day long. But a businessman, what's his questions to the rabbi? Rabbi, I made this amount of money. Do I have to give Maaseh on my exam? Do I have to give on the principal, on the prophet? So he says, Yishtar Maaseh, this guy's asking, does he have to give Maaseh on salt? It's like me coming to the rabbi. Rabbi, I just went to the hardware store, I bought 10 light bulbs. Do I have to give Maaseh on light bulbs? I said, on light bulbs? We never heard such a thing before. So he's so generous, he wants to give Maaseh on light bulbs? He wants to give Maaseh on salt? So that caused Yitzhak to think that really Esav is very generous, that he wants to give such things. So that's not being naive at all. And by the way, Yitzhak is not that far off, because the Hatam Sofer writes that when Mashiach comes, that's going to be the system. The Jews are going to learn Torah and the Goyim are going to support them. That's going to be the relationship. So Yitzhak Abinu already was ahead of his time. We're seeing it already in the United States of America. Here, Baruch Hashem, we can sit and learn Torah, and the government gives us tax exempt, and they give us money for the yeshivas, and they give us... Already you're starting to see at the end of time this concept. That the Goyim give us millions of dollars to the yeshiva. Who pays for all the security that we have? The government says, we'll pay for the security. Of what? Of the yeshiva. So what? So ladies can come and sit and learn? We'll pay for the guy to stand outside and protect them. This is exactly what Yitzhak was dreaming. Esav will be the supporter, that's the Goyim. Yaakov Avinu will learn. Mishalom Yisrael. Now comes Rivka. And Rivka, she said, very good system. However, she knew something that Yitzhak did not know. And that's what he says over here, the Imre Noam, and I quote, Ve'umnam. However, Rivka had tzadeket, hevina zot, she understood, betov, she understood good, ki ach sheker u'mirma befiv shel Esav. He's a wise guy. He doesn't love Torah and he's not going to respect Torah. If Esav gets all the money, he's going to keep the money. Rivka understood that Esav is a faker. He's not going to be the Zebulun. He tricks his father. How do you give ma'aser? How do you do all this? Daddy, let me give you lunch. It's all a fake out to get the money. Once he gets the money, Rivka understood, he's going to put it in his pocket. And if that's what happens, then God forbid there will no be Torah in the world. Because if all the support has to come from Esav, and Esav's not going to support, then Chas v'Shalom Yaakov Avinu and the Talmidei HaKhamim will starve to death, and that'll be the destruction of the world, because there won't be Torah. Men came out in Torah. She understood that Esav is not a Zebulun. Now, where did she get this idea of Yisachar Zebulun? Where did she get this idea? When she went to the prophet to get the beracha, what did they tell her? You have two goyim in your stomach. Rebbe and Antoninus. The rabbis were saying, not Esav and Yaakov. Esav is not going to do what Rebbe and Antoninus did. There's going to be an Antoninus, he's going to support Rebbe. Why is the prophet telling him about Antoninus? Because Antoninus is going to be a good Zebulun, but not Esav. And therefore the rabbi was telling Rivka, do not let Esav get a hold of the money. Yeah, maybe Rebbe and Antoninus had a good relationship, but Esav is not going to be the right guy. And therefore you have to do anything in your... So she knew already from then, from when they were born. She knew already from when they were born that this guy cannot get a hold of the money, because if he gets the money, it's over. Yitzhak didn't know that. Yitzhak said, no, he's a businessman. He said, let him be a hunter. So what does Rivka Imenu do? Incredible. What does she do? She goes along and she says, Yaakov Avinu, I know you don't like money. You're not interested in the Cadillac. But we have to get the money over here. Because you have to be the Yisachar and the Zebulun. That means it has to come all from us. Because if you're going to rely on Esav, he's not going to support Torah. And therefore you have to go in and get not only the spiritual blessings, but you need to go take the physical. That means the Jew is going to have to support the Jew. It's only going to come from within. The only argument over here was about the money. And Rivka understood Yaakov has to keep the money as well. As much as he doesn't want the money, but if there's no money, there's no Torah. And you can't rely that Esav is going to send a check to the Kollel every month. He's not going to send it. He'll get the money and put it in his pocket and go to Florida. Then where's that check? Jump in the leg. Why should I give you any money? That's the Torah. And listen to what happens. All of a sudden she tells her son, go into your father. Go into your father and go put on Esav's clothes. What is Rivka saying? You have to send a message to your father that not only do you going to wear the clothes of the yeshiva man, but you need to wear the clothes of the businessman as well. By putting the clothes of Esav, Yaakov should come in with a white shirt, a black hat, like the yeshiva man. Instead he comes in wearing a business suit, Esav's clothes. That already, she was sending a message to Yitzhak, that Yaakov Avinu is going to need to wear the clothes of Esav as well. We cannot let Esav support us. We have to have the support. Only the Jews are going to understand the value of Torah, so he comes in dressed like a businessman. Which, interesting, listen to what I'm going to tell you now. The Pasuk says, Vayomer lo Yitzhak Aviv, mi ata, who are you? Vayomer ani bincha bechorcha Esav. He says, I am Esav. Which means he was saying, I have to assume Esav's position as well. Now what are you doing here? We're giving out money. We're not giving out spirituality. What should I do, Daddy? I need Anuchi Esav. I have to be Esav also. I cannot only be Yaakov. I have to be Esav as well. So the Pasuk says, when he says, Anuchi Esav Bechorecha, I am your son. Anuchi Esav. So he comes along and says, Vayomri Yitzhak Yaakov, Gishana, come close. Vamushecha, let me feel you. Now, where did Rivka put the skins? On his hands and on his neck. The hands represents Parnasa. The neck represents, that's where you talk from. That's Torah. Rivka says, you have to assume both. You have to assume the Yadayim, and you have to assume also the call. So when Yaakov Abinu comes close to his father feels the hands, and he feels the neck. He says, oh, you want both? You want both? You're supposed to have the neck. You're supposed to be learning Torah. You want the money also? He started to understand, oh, your mother knows what she's doing over here. All these years I thought Esav is the one that's going to be the supporter. You have to be the Yisachar Zivul. All of a sudden Yitzhak looks at his son and he says the following. Hakol kol Yaakov v'ayadayim yedei Esav. You have to do both. You have to do the kol Yaakov and your hands have to be the hands of Esav as well. And therefore, you get the beracha. He didn't have a doubt at that point. When he says, I called Yaakov, I am saying, you have to assume both positions. Until now, Yaakov, Yitzhak Avinu said, Yaakov learns, Esav works. Now he says, no, now you have to do both. All the beracha of Torah and Parnasah must come from Yaakov. I called Yaakov, Yadayim Yide Esav, by Barakhehu. Oh. Now Esav comes in. And Esav comes in and says, oh, what did happen with this guy over here? He took my money. Now, of course, Esav is very, very upset because he had no intention to ever support Yaakov Abinu. He lost all this money for his pocket. So he comes along and says, and he took my birthright. He took my birthright, says the Hatam Sofer, and I have to quote this inside what the Hatam Sofer says about the birthright. Listen to the language. He says, when he sold the birthright, what was he giving Yaakov Abinu? The birthright was spiritual. You go learn Torah. You want to learn Torah? You want to be the one that lives Torah all day long? Good luck. Take the birthright. I'll sell it for nothing. Lentil soup. When Esav walked away, he said, I got the better end. At least I got lentil soup. He's going to learn a little, because he said like this. One day my father's going to give me all the money, and then I'm not going to give it to him, and he's going to starve to death. So let him learn all the Torah he wants. He's not going to be able to learn. Because I'm going to get the money, and he's not going to be able to study. So it was a plan. Esav was actually tricking Yaakov. When he sold him the birthright, he said, you learn Torah, but one day you're going to need support. And daddy's going to give me all the money to support you. And guess what? When you come to me for support, I'm going to tell you, take a walk. And therefore, this was a plan for Esav to destroy the Torah. And all of a sudden, his plan is working. Now he's about to get the money from his father. And he'll never send his brother a kollel check. It's going to be perfect. All of a sudden, Yaakov comes out with all the money. And he says, that wise guy, he took my Bechora now. Because now the plan failed. Because he took my Bechora, he has the Torah and he has the money also. So therefore, I'm out of remaining. Hatam of his language. Vechevan sherivka yerda lesof da'ato. Rivka understood that what? Shaita mechir, aval Rivka shaita makeret Esav. Rivka recognized Esav. The yodat sheaz lo haya efsirut Yaakov lavod Hashem v'lelmod Torah, that Yaakov would not be able to learn Torah. Lo yiten lo minyane olam hazeh. He's not going to give him anything from this world. V'zeh atzmo haita kavanat Esav mechirat bechora. He'll sell him the bechora, and he's going to hold on to olam hazeh. He'll never give him anything, and mimela he'll die. When he got the money, Esav came in and said, he got everything. Now he got Torah and he got the money. My whole plan failed. Am Yisrael is going to continue to exist. This was Esav's chance to squash Torah in the womb. With this, we understand something else. We understand something else. Esav is coming out of the womb. And what is Yaakov Avinu doing? He's holding on to his heel. And that's why he's called Yaakov. And even Esav says, oh, that's why they call him Yaakov. Yaakov comes from the word Ekev. But nobody ever taught you, why was he holding on to his heel? Why was he holding on to his heel? Because he wanted to stop him from coming out first, maybe? Why was he holding on to his nose? He was holding on to his heel. The Hatam Sofer says, because when a person goes to work, the person goes to work with his heel, with his feet. Yaakov Abinu understood already from the womb that not only is he going to have to be the Kol Yaakov and Yadayim, he's going to have to hold on to the heel as well. Meaning the industriousness of Esav, Yaakov is going to have to do as well. He thought that at least the running around with the heel, he'll do the running around and I'll sit and learn. But he understood from a young age, already I have to hold on to the heel as well. The heel belongs to me as well. Both the Yisachar and the Zebulun. So Esav comes, that's what I call him, Yaakov. That's why he was holding on to my heel. He knew from the beginning he's going to take both positions. It's a new way of understanding this parasha. It's Yisachar Zebulun. And if Esav would have been the good Zebulun, no problem. And one day he'll be a good one. Like Rabbi and Antoninus. But Rivka understood he's not going to be a good Zebulun. And therefore, if we let him get it, we'll never see a red penny. And if the yeshivas don't see a red penny, they're going to close down. And if they close down, there's not going to be Torah, the world will be destroyed. So this was such a pivotal moment over here. Who's going to hold on to the money? Now, the last question that I didn't answer you yet is the Lashon Hara question. He comes in and says, your brother came and took the blessings. So we explained it like this. Again, I'm not an expert on Lashon Hara, but the way I understand what Lashon Hara is, I have to assume is, there's a rule, I don't know, it has to be written in Hafetz Chaim. You ladies know better than me, I'm sure. But somewhere it has to say that if there's a benefit, it's okay to speak Lashon Hara. There's a rule like that? I mean, I can't speak Lashon Hara if it's going to put you in a bad position. But if it's a benefit is okay. Is there a rule like that? I guess there's maybe seven conditions also, I don't know. But there's a rule that says, if there's a toilet, right? In a shidduch, for example, I'm allowed to say certain things on a shidduch if I believe it's a benefit to one side. Or a business proposition, if one of the partners is a crook, I'm allowed to say, hey, listen, the guy's not so honest because there's a benefit to the other side. Even though I would not be able to say that information on its own. That's a good example. Yeah, no. Honest is no, you can't be honest. Honest is Lashon Hara. If somebody comes over and says, you see this guy over here, mashallah, he eats 10 meals a day. No, it's honest. It's honest, he eats 10 meals a day. Don't be so honest. Lashon Hara is honest. Lashon Hara is the truth. Motzi Shem Ra is lying. So I'm giving you an example. You can be honest and still speak Lashon Hara. So in this case over here, Yitzhak is honest. He stole the blessing. But look what you did now. Esav hates your guts. However, Yitzhak Avinu, as I said, is a prophet. What ended up happening as a result of this? He had to run away. Where did he run away to? To Laban. What ended up happening? He got married. Now, if Esav never hated him, he would never have to run away to go get married and have his children. So Yitzhak Avinu already was preparing the benefit over here. He needs to get Esav to be angry, to cause Yaakov Avinu, because he'll never want to leave the Beit Midrash, Yaakov. Yaakov, how about daddy? I'm learning. You have to go get married. He was 84 years old. I'm learning. I'm happy. When are you going to get married? So Yaakov Avinu says, Yitzhak says, I have an idea. Your brother came and stole the blessings. Oh! All of a sudden, he's angry at you. Go run away. Go run away to Lavan's house. Hurry up. Go to Lavan's house. Is there a bigger benefit than that? That Lashon Hara brought the biggest benefit to Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, it's not Lashon Hara. When there's a benefit, and that was the Kavanah of Yitzhak. But even more so. Anti-Semitism is a benefit for the Jew. Because Yaakov Avinu, when the Goy is prosecuting him, and the Goy is hating him, it causes Yaakov Avinu to learn more Torah, to open his Tehillim book, to pray harder. So therefore, Yitzhak Avinu was telling Yaakov a lesson. You're right, you're the one that learns Torah. But there's going to be a benefit to the hatred of Esav.
And therefore, he creates the hatred. He says, your brother came and stole the blessing. Now Yaakov Avinu, daddy, what did you do to me? But go learn more now, so Esav doesn't bother you. Because that's the rule. As long as you're learning Torah, Esav cannot touch you. So that's part of the package. That Esav has one goal, to keep Am Yisrael straight. And how do they do that? By, when Am Yisrael lightens up on their responsibilities, Esav comes in and gets them. In any event, you see over here the benefit of making the proper analysis of the parasha over here. The story of Yisachar Zevulun was not supposed to be Yisachar Zevulun. It was supposed to be Yisachar Esav. Esav was supposed to be, all our support was supposed to come from the Goyim. However, Yitzhak Avinu had the right idea, but he was just ahead of his time. If you have one more minute, I'll tell you one more hadush. Although we said a tremendous hadush today. This is a new, novel way of understanding this parasha. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Yitzhak Avinu already, his mind was on the future. Like I said, he had the right idea, he was just ahead of himself. Sometimes the Sadiqim, they were ahead of themselves. Rivka said, my husband, we're not ready for your idea yet. We need Esav is not Antoninus. So I saw one of the rabbis, his name is called Emre Yosef. He brings a proof that Yitzhak Avinu already was living in the future. Why? There's two rabbis that always argued with each other. One is called Bet Shammai, and one is called Bet Hillel. They were friends, but they argued. Come to the Kollel, you see, I argue all day long with my friends. But we're still friends. Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel. Now, you can't follow both rabbis. The law is we follow Bet Hillel. Halakha ke Bet Hillel. Finish. However, it does say that when Mashiach comes, the halakha is going to follow Bet Shammai. Interesting. For whatever reason, one day I'll explain it to you why it's going to change. But it's going to change. So, don't erase Bet Shammai's opinion. You're going to need to know it when Mashiach comes. Here's a classic argument of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. It's a famous argument in how many children are you supposed to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Urvu. Bet Hillel says, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Urvu, you need one boy and one girl. And Bet Shammai says you need two boys. That's the mahloket. That's the mahloket. Now we follow Bet Hillel. Now I know it's hard to follow this because you cannot order a boy and a girl like at a restaurant. But what it means is, if you have a boy, you have to try to have a girl. And if you have two boys, you have to keep on trying till you have a girl. And you have to keep on trying until the doctor says you shouldn't try anymore. You have to keep on trying. Because halakha is like Bet Hillel. Now hold it. Abraham Abinu had Yitzhak and he had Yishmael. But the Gemara says, V'ashem berachet Avram Bakol. The Gemara says, Bat haital Avram Abinu. Abraham Abinu had a girl, her name was Bakol. So Abraham Abinu fulfilled Periyah V'Reviyah. He fulfilled the mitzvah. Yaakov Abinu, he had Dinah, and he had all the other tribes, so he fulfilled Periyah V'Reviyah. Yitzhak had two boys. How come he stopped having children? He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Periyah V'Reviyah. Because already Yitzhak Abinu was holding by Bet Shammai already. According to Bet Shammai, two boys. So already he was there, he was the future. So therefore he said already, if we were in the Bet Shammai world, so let Esav, and it's going to happen, let the Goyim support us. Rivka said, oh, you're ahead of your time, Yitzhak Avinu, slow down. It's not Rebbe and Antoninus' time yet. We have to already work on what we have in front of us. And Esav is not good. He wants to take the money and put it in his pocket. He's not a Zivulun, he's a Shakran, he's a Ramai. Don't get fooled by how do we give Ma'aser. He's not interested in giving Ma'aser. The only Ma'aser he's going to give is to himself. And therefore, Rivka Imenu saves the day. So what Rabbi Akiva told his wife, we have to say to Rifka Imenu, our Torah and their Torah is her Torah. Rifka Imenu ends up saving the Klal Yisrael by pushing away Esav and keeping him outside. He doesn't sign the checks. As a result, the Yisachar Zebulun comes from within, and Am Yisrael still continues to flourish. Now, on the end of the story, before Yaakov Abinu goes to get married, he blesses him a second blessing. What's the second blessing he blesses him? V'yiten lecha et birkat Avraham. That was the spiritual blessing. There was no argument about birkat Avraham. Birkat Avraham always was going to go to Yaakov. Esav didn't want birkat. Esav sold birkat Avraham. That was the Bechora. You see, when he gives him Birkat Avraham, you don't see Esav screaming, hey, he gave Birkat Avraham. Take Birkat Avraham, I'm out of the money. So Birkat Avraham wasn't the subject of discussion here. It was the V'yitin Nechai Elohim that was the discussion. And to the credit of Rivka Imenu, like we said today, she boxed them out. And as a result of that, Am Yisrael still exists. And the lesson to us is, that those people that were blessed with money, the only reason why you were given it is because we didn't trust Esav with it. But those people that have money and they don't want to support the Kolel, then God says, what did I do this whole thing for over here? Ben Menan, you're just like Esav. The reason why it was given to us is because we're not like Esav. And that the businessmen have to remember that. And the wives have to remember that. That Am Yisrael is trusted to support Torah. And if we're not supporting Torah, then God said, well, why do we need this whole ruse? Why make this whole noise over here? And then Be'ezat Hashem will be fulfilled, both parts of the Mishnah. Im en kemah en Torah, im en Torah en kemah.